Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session. At that time, to ask a question, you may press star one. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. And now I'll turn today's meeting over to Eydong Vang. Thank you. You may begin.
Okay. Good morning. I'm delighted to welcome all of you to this webinar on Harnessing the Data Revolution, HDR, Data Science Core, DSC, Solicitation, NSF 19518. We have received many questions since the solicitation is posted, and I hope you find this webinar informative. Okay, so here's the outline of today's presentation. We will start with the HDR program introduction by the leaders of HDR Steering Committee, Dr. Manish Parasha. We will then give an overview of the specific HDR Data Science Corps program. The program directors for HDR DSC include Stephanie August from the Division of Undergrad Education in the Directorate of Education and Human Resources, Cheryl Avey from the Division of Social and Economic Science of the Directorate of Social Behavior and Economic Science, Nandini Kannan from the Division of Mathematical Science in the Directorate of Mathematics and Physical Sciences, and myself, Eydong Zhang, from the Division of Information and Intelligence Systems of the Directorate of Computer and Information Science and Engineering. In this webcast, we will provide a brief overview of the Data Science Corps program and describe some of the most important things you need to know about submitting a proposal. We will then take questions from the audience. I will now turn it over to Manish, who is co-leading the HDR Steering Committee.
Good morning. On behalf of the HDR team, it is my pleasure to welcome you to this webinar. As you may know, in 2016, the National Science Foundation unveiled a set of big ideas, 10 long-term research and process ideas that identify areas of future investment at the frontiers of science and engineering. The big ideas represent unique opportunities to position our nation at the cutting edge of global science and engineering leadership by bringing together diverse disciplinary perspectives to support convergence research. HDR is one of the big ideas. HDR is a national scale activity to enable new modes of data-driven discovery that will allow new fundamental questions to be asked and answered at the frontiers of science and engineering. Through this NSF-wide activity, HDR will generate new knowledge and understanding and accelerate discovery and innovation. The HDR vision is realized through an interrelated set of efforts focused on the foundations of data science, algorithms and systems for data science, data-intensive science and engineering, data cyber infrastructure, and education and workforce development. The data science core solicitation, which is the topic of this webinar, focuses on education and workforce development. I would like to briefly mention a second solicitation that focuses on the conceptualization of HDR institutes for data-intensive research in science and engineering. The HDR institutes activity seeks to create an integrated fabric of interrelated institutes that can accelerate discovery and innovation in multiple areas of data-intensive science and engineering by harnessing diverse data sources and developing and applying new methodologies, technologies, and cyber infrastructure for data management and analysis. I will now turn it back to Eydong.
Next, we'll talk about this specific solicitation opportunity, NSF 19518. As Manish just mentioned, the Data Science Corps DSC program is the education and workforce development component of the NSF Harnessing the Data Revolution HDR ecosystem. to train the next generation of students in data science. HDR-DSC provides the support for integration of real-world data science projects into classroom instruction. In particular, undergrad students receive stipends, $5,000 per student, to participate in data science projects. I'd like to emphasize the two specific goals of this solicitation, which are build the capacity for harnessing the data revolution at the local, state, national, and international levels to help unleash the power of data in the service of science and society. Provide the practical experience, teach new skills, and offer teaching opportunities in a variety of settings to data scientists and data science students. The set of awards made by this program are expected to reflect the geographic diversity and represent a wide variety of regions across the country. Stephanie will talk about the team requirements in the next slide.
Now let's turn toward the requirements for the composition of each data science core team. Collaboration is a key component of the data science core projects on many levels. Each team is expected to engage two or more organizations, with one assuming the role of coordinator and the other assuming the role of implementer. The coordinating institution will coordinate, monitor, and evaluate all project activities. It will also provide faculty professional development and mentoring. One or more implementation organizations should be affiliated with each coordinating organization. The implementing institution will implement the data science core in one or more data science courses and provide stipends to support the undergraduate students. The coordinating institution and the implementation institutions are expected to work together on the introduction of the data science core activities into existing courses, identifying project organizations, recruiting suitable projects, and developing a common set of criteria for awarding the data science core stipends to students. One organization can assume both roles, but keep in mind the expectation that each project will involve multiple organizations. We encourage you to refer to the solicitation for a detailed description of the coordinating and implementation roles. Now, let's review limits on submissions. While project teams are expected to engage multiple organizations, each institution is allowed to submit only one proposal. On collaborative projects, both the lead proposal and each collaborative proposal count as a submitted proposal. Subawards, on the other hand, do not count toward the limit. Likewise, each individual may participate in only one project as PI, co-PI, or senior personnel. Both lead and collaborative proposals count. Being a subawardee on a project does not count toward the limit. Note that the subawardee organization does not submit a proposal, and personnel on the subaward are not the PI, co-PI, or senior personnel on the proposal unless individuals happen to also be named as co-PI on the proposal's cover sheet. An organization could appear as a subawardee in any number of proposals and could also submit a proposal itself. If multiple submissions are received from an institution or an individual, the first submission received from an institution or individual will be retained. Subsequent submissions will be returned without review. Aidan will now talk about the proposal preparation guidelines.
Okay. So next, we talk about the proposal preparation guideline. First, four proposals are required to be submitted between January 28, 2019 and February 4, 2019, due by 5 p.m. submitters local time on February 4, 2019. Proposal preparation should follow the instructions described in the NSF 18-1 PAPPG proposal and award policies and procedure guide, such as 15-page limit and other format requirements. Next, we talk about the program-specific requirements in proposal preparation. The proposal should follow, should focus on what and how the supported undergrad students will participate in any data science-related projects, such as real-world projects in the local community, industry, government, academia, nonprofit, and other sectors to gain hands-on experience. For example, proposal may incorporate as part of the data science curriculum, such as capstone projects, summer internships, co-op programs, study abroad programs, or similar experiences. The description of the specific roles in the team mentioned earlier should be detailed here. The assessment of student learning and program evaluation is a critical component. Stephanie will talk about it in the next slide.
As we mentioned earlier, the coordinating institution is responsible for the assessment of student learning and evaluation of the program overall. We can think of assessment as a chef tasting a soup as she is preparing it, adjusting the ingredients and seasonings as needed while the soup is cooking to achieve the desired result. Evaluation, on the other hand, occurs when the customer tastes the soup and provides feedback on the result. Assessment should aim to address the impact of the hands-on experiences on student gains in content knowledge related to data science, as well as gains in the translational skills needed to enable effective application of data science content knowledge. These translational or super skills include teamwork, entrepreneurship, critical thinking, communications, collaboration, creativity, and perhaps most importantly, ethics. Assessment is also expected to examine student persistence as a STEM major and persistence in a STEM-related career. Note that this does require a longitudinal study into the value of data science and the data science core as a means of increasing the ranks of the national STEM workforce. Project evaluation efforts should address issues related to the overall impact of the data science core. Let's take a look at a few examples of relevant evaluation questions. Did the award reach its goals? How do we know this, or why was it not successful in reaching its goals? What are the characteristics of an effective data science core award, including specific projects or project organizations? Has the award been effective at developing models for communication and engagement among disciplines at the student level? What about communication and engagement among faculty and broadly within the workforce? Are certain types of data science core projects more effective for certain students or certain organizations and or for certain communities? And finally, what value do specific projects produce for the communities they serve? You are encouraged to refer to the 2010 User-Friendly Handbook of Project Evaluation, which is cited in the solicitation. The handbook discusses quantitative and qualitative evaluation methods and is a valuable source for understanding the value of evaluation and how to design and carry out an evaluation. What does a budget for a data science core project look like? A total of $10 million has been allocated for this program. We expect to make 8 to 11 awards ranging from $1 to $1.2 million for projects with duration of up to 3 years. Awards are expected to support about 25 to 30 students per year across all participating organizations at approximately $5,000 per student budgeted under participant support. Students must be citizens or permanent residents of the U.S. or its territories. The overall project budget in year three of an award is expected to be less than in years one and two in anticipation of transitioning the award to other sources of funds. The budget for the coordinating organization may include support for the principal investigator, a full or partial support for a project coordinator, project communications, program evaluation, appropriate travel expenses, and the usual administration and other expenses. The budget for each implementation organization should include student stipends and may also include support for the award PI or co-PI and other support staff. If students are required to travel to project locations, additional travel support may be included with proper justification. Now I'll turn it back to Aidan.
Okay. So next we talk about general proposal review criteria. As for all proposals received by NSF, DSC reviewers and panelists will be asked to consider the intellectual merit and broader impact for each proposal for their review, panel discussion, and panel summary. To reiterate this criteria, intellectual merit encompasses the potential to advance knowledge, in this case, to build the data science workforce. Broader impact encompasses the potential to build, to benefit society and contribute to the achievement of specific desired societal outcomes. We talk about this in detail in the next slide. The following aspects should be discussed, addressed for broader impacts. Participation of women, persons with disability, and members of underrepresented groups. Science, technology, engineering, and mathematics education. Increase the public's scientific literacy and engagement with science and technology. Development of a diverse, globally competitive workforce. Increase the partnerships between academia and industry. Improve national health, security, and economic competitiveness. Enhance infrastructure for research and education. Next, Stephanie will talk about the solicitation-specific review criteria.
There are four additional solicitation-specific review criteria to consider. Data Science Core projects are expected to represent diversity and be well integrated with their institutions. First, proposals will be evaluated on their organizational diversity, that is, whether the proposal reflects diversity among participating organizations. This might be accomplished by reaching across many types of institutions of higher education, including research universities, 2- and 4-year colleges, and minority-serving institutions. Second, proposals will be evaluated on the clarity of their linkages to existing or new undergraduate courses, as well as internship, traineeship, study abroad, or other relevant programs at the institutions. Data Science Core projects are expected to reflect real-world experience and community connections. The third solicitation-specific review criteria states that proposals will be evaluated on how well the proposing teams demonstrate a track record and prior experience with implementing data science projects in academia, industry, government, nonprofits, or other relevant sectors. Teams are expected to demonstrate the ability to clearly identify specific projects in those settings. Lastly, proposals will be evaluated on their connection to stakeholder communities. The proposing team should demonstrate linkages with relevant stakeholders in industry, local, state, or federal governments, nonprofits, international organizations, or other sectors. HDR DSC proposals are expected to include 2 solicitation-specific supplementary documents. A schedule of activities, limited to 2 pages, should describe the schedule of meetings among collaborators. It should also include a tentative schedule for quarterly or more frequent teleconference meetings and annual or more frequent in-person meetings among all Data Science Core awardees, including the annual Data Science Core meeting in Washington, D.C. area. All tentative schedules can be made firm after the projects have been awarded and announced. Proposals are expected to include a letter of collaboration from each participating organization named in the proposal, other than the submitting lead, non-lead, or subawardee institutions. Letters should explicitly state the nature of the collaboration, appear on the organization's letterhead, and be signed by the appropriate organizational representative. These letters must not otherwise deviate from the restrictions and requirements specified in the NSF Proposal and Award Policies and Procedures Guide, which you can find by searching for NSF 18-1 on the web. Now, IDON will begin our question and answer session.
Yes. Okay. So we have now completed the formal portion of the presentation. Before opening the telephone lines to questions from the audience, We would like to address a few of the questions we have already received. Question one, this is the, so given the institutional proposal limit of one proposal submission per organization, would a non-leader collaborative proposal submission from an organization that is not as a sub-awardee count against the non-leader organization's institutional proposal limit? The answer is yes. Question two, the solicitation calls for a coordination organization and one or more implementation organizations. Must organizations be different universities or institutions, different colleges, different departments? The answer is no, but the solicitation also says participation by more than one organization is expected in each data science corps award. So if much of the activity in the project is concentrated at one university, that will work against the project in the review process. Question three, do all the undergrad students and participants need to be data science majors? Answer, no. Students enrolled in any STEM degree program are eligible to participate. Thanks for your attention. Now we will take questions from the audience.
Thank you. At this time, for questions or comments from the phone, press star 1. Please unmute your line and record your name only to be introduced. Again, for questions or comments from the phone, press star 1. If you'd like to withdraw the request, you may press star 2. Thank you. Please stand by for your first question. Thank you. We have our first question from AJ Anand. Your line is open.
Hello. Good morning. My question is, could you provide some guidance on whether the evaluation should be done, can be from an internal evaluator, or does it have to be an external evaluation?
The solicitation doesn't state that explicitly, but if you refer to the user-friendly handbook, it talks about different stages of projects in the project pipeline and what the appropriate evaluation is there. The key point is that this person doing the evaluation should really be independent from the project in order to give unbiased feedback on it. An external evaluator is always a good idea, but it's not explicitly required here.
All right, thank you. Next question is Calvin Chu. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I wanted to get back to a question that you addressed in the earlier ones, number 2, about the solicitation calling for organizations being from different universities or institutions. Our proposal works on from a system level call, and there are about 10 different geographically distributed institutions that are part of that system. Some are PUIs, some are MSIs, some are flagship state universities. In addition, there's a couple of PUIs that are outside the system that are participating. Do you have any suggestions for how we can broaden the scope of this proposal in order to deal with any potential perception on the part of the panel that it's focused at one university?
So all of the PUIs, the MSI, and the flagships are all from the same university system?
That's correct.
And they represent different geographic and demographic regions?
That's right. So there's a couple community college systems, there's a couple PUIs, and there's a flagship university.
Well, it's up to their profile.
Yeah, I think that what you, in a case like that, it's really a matter of you providing the rationale for choosing those institutions and demonstrating how that collection will meet the requirements as laid out in the solicitation. It's some states are rather large, and so it's easy to imagine how you would cover just a really broad range of institutions. Other states are really small, so it might be a harder sell in that case. But it's really up to you to write a convincing argument for why it's appropriate for this solicitation.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is Sarah Hu. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. I actually have a question about, again, if the institution is the lead, are they expected to do just mostly the assessment, or can they also be involved in recruiting students and also developing a curriculum? I'm just wondering, is the expectation is that there's one institution that's just doing the coordination and assessment and everybody else is implementing, or the, would the lead can also be part of the, you know, participating in the implementation?
The lead can be both.
Can?
Both on the coordination and the implementation.
Okay.
Including recruiting students, support students.
Okay, great.
All right, thank you. Next question is Raja Suryamurthy. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. In terms of participating institutions, I had a question regarding the role of partnering high schools. A program that I have been involved with a couple of universities as well as people from the industry is an outreach program that we've been running for nearly the last 5 years that have engaged various high schools in our local area and introducing data science to them over a program that runs for several months. So my question is, how do they play a role in such a grant proposal? Is that something that would be viewed favorable by a committee in terms of the engagement at the high school level where we've been able to percolate downwards and some of the high schools have actually introduced curriculum on data science based on our work?
Are the classes, is that curriculum in the high school, we call it dual credit course, are the students receiving credit for college courses?
And not at the moment, it's only at the high school level.
Yeah, the requirement is that the stipends go to undergraduate students, and if students were enrolled in high school and getting college credit, that would should qualify it. But other than that, you know, aside from faculty development, it, the solicitation doesn't directly support that.
May I ask a follow-up on that?
Sure.
We have somewhere around, I would say, about 7 to 9 undergraduate students who are actively involved in running this outreach effort. For that. So there's faculty, there's people from the industry, there are undergraduate students, and then there's the high school students who are participating in this whole effort. What are your read in terms of the role of the undergraduate students who are helping deliver this as mentors over 4 or 5 months?
If the coordinating institution and the implementation institution have identified that as an appropriate data science project, then it would be an appropriate data science project, and they could assist at the high schools. So clearly, teaching other students is a really good way of learning. So it would really depend upon how your project is structured.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is Brett Tyler. Your line is open.
Hello. I have two kind of related questions. One is with regard to the expectation to support 25 to 30 students each year. Is that number expected to decrease in year 3? And then the related question if we have community college instructors participating in the same hands-on research as some of their students, you're working together as a pod, for example, do those community college instructors count towards the 25 to 30 requirement?
So the 25 to 30 is a count of the undergraduate students receiving stipends each year. So that wouldn't be the community college faculty. And what was the other question?
Year three, are we supposed to maintain the 25 to 30 in year three, or is that expected to go down?
The solicitation doesn't state how the budget is supposed to decrease, so that would be up to the university to determine how they're going to change the budget for the following year. They might have other internal support for faculty development, or perhaps they find other funding for the internships.
So, if I understand correctly, the 25 or to 30 students might go down, that are supported by the grant might go down in year three, but we'd expected to still train that same number of students. Is that correct?
You just have to go back to the solicitation.
Well, the reason I'm asking the question is the solicitation is not clear on this point.
Can I jump in here? This is Nandini.
Thank you.
Yes, Nandini.
Yeah, I was just following up to the trying to respond to the question. I think the expectation is that you would still be supporting students in year three, but probably the cost for program coordination and PI support may decrease because you have all the pieces in place.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And next question is from Kristen Bennett. Your line is open.
Thank you. This is Kristen Bennett from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, and we're partnering with the AI Center for Excellence. So I just wanted to be clear that it said that you should integrate it in the curriculum. So we're doing a combination of curriculum integration, and then they'll do internships and co-ops at the AI Center, which will not be for credit. Is that okay?
So yes, the choice of project is up to the coordinating and implementation institution. So you need to, the key part is that you demonstrate a project that gives the students hands-on real-world experience and that the students also be engaged in STEM disciplines.
All right, we have students that would be coming in through the business analytics major because we think that diversifies our population. Is that okay, too?
The question is whether students in business analytics majors would be appropriate?
Yes, because it is. I mean, I guess that's STEM to me, but I just want to make sure it's STEM to you.
I think it really depends upon the nature of the business analytics course. And
okay.
We usually look at those on a case-by-case basis.
All right, so we should describe the course and the program they're coming through and make sure that it's appropriate.
Yes.
Okay. And then we're partnering with regional stakeholders and like the town and things like that, that's Troy. Do we get letters from them? I just want to be careful about the boundary between support and
If there's an organization named in your proposal, you should get a letter of collaboration from them. And that letter of collaboration should repeat whatever commitments are in the solicitation. It should repeat whatever the commitments are that are in the proposal. you want to be very careful about adding information in that letter that is not found in the proposal, because if your coordinator, if your coordinating institution or your partner goes off and waxes eloquently about all of the benefits of your program, that letter could cause your project to be returned without review. So you want to use the wording in the PAPBG about letters of collaboration and the wording that is required in the solicitation. But yes, if they're named in the proposal, you should have a letter of collaboration from them.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is David Axelrod. Your line is open.
Thank you for your presentation. Thank you for taking my call. We would like to consider submitting a proposal, but probably will not be able to finish it by the February 4th deadline. Do you expect that it would be open again next year?
Well, currently it's a one-time solicitation. We don't know for the future yet.
Yeah, we can't predict the future. It's the hardest thing to predict.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is Lou Rossi. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. So in the solicitation, it talks about $5,000 stipends, roughly. Are you open to other value-added activities during the semester or special sessions? And how about support for small mini-workshops to give students the skills they need to pursue projects and create projects for courses.
The mini workshops.
So you're suggesting instead of paying $5,000 stipends for the students, that you give them stipends for other activities?
Right, so could we support them, say, over a special session, a winter session, or something, so it's a shorter duration activity and a smaller stipend, right?
So the nature of the project is something that has to be defined by the coordinating institution and the implementation institution. And once they agree on one, they need to write a compelling argument for why that's an appropriate project for the data science core solicitation.
Okay, thank you.
That's how it's framed.
Thank you. Next question is from Hugh Nguyen. Your line is open.
Oh, yes, thank you. Yeah, I wanted more clarification on the year three budget because the solicitation says that we should be trying to transfer, looking to transition to other sources of funding. I wanted to see if NSF felt what type of source would be more of a priority, like getting funding from businesses or just from our own schools.
I think there are different ways of doing it. I think if I were a reviewer, I would expect you to come up with, good support for whatever you're doing. So whatever support you're going to have, you want to make sure that it is likely to happen. But it's up to you where that's what resource do you use for supporting the project?
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Julie Dickerson, your line is open.
Hi. Thank you very much for holding the webinar. I had some questions about the stipend. We're looking to incorporate this into our senior design project, and in that case, they're getting credit to graduate, so giving stipends gets a little dicey there. Is it possible to actually pay for their supplies for their senior design project or be a little more flexible?
To pay for supplies, you said?
Supplies or perhaps sending them out in the field for gathering data or something of that nature.
So the travel, there is support for the students who might have to travel for their projects, and that would be included in the budget for the implementation organizations. And then if there are supplies that are required, that would be included, I believe it's under the coordinating organization budget, but you would need to look at the solicitation.
Also, I had...
Just make sure that you provide a motivation for it in the justification.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And next question is from Lee Young. Your line is open.
Thank you. The solicitation says the coordinating organization should establish a data science corps advisory group with other funded data science corps projects. Does this mean that all the participating institutions, they share one single data science corps advisory group?
So the question whether a single advisory board is needed for all of the institutions involved?
Yes. We don't know what it means by the other funded data science corps. Means like a collaborative, like you have three institutions are working together, so three of us are sharing one advisory group, or we also need to care about outside of the three institutions.
I believe that's after the awards are given, how we will coordinate the funded universities.
Yeah, I think is this about an advisory board for your project, for your data science core collection of proposals?
In the solicitation, there is a section called the project structure, and under it, at least four things that the coordinating organization should do. So we don't know what this other funded data science corps projects mean. Means all projects funded in 1 year, we need to coordinate with all of them to get a single data science corps, or just within three or four of the institutions that we are working.
The coordinating institution has to coordinate with all of the organizations on your proposal.
Yes. So we have three institutions. We are working together.
Right.
So this means the three institutions, we share one single data science advisory group.
Yes.
I think one institution needs to take the lead, even if you have three institutions working together. One institution is going to have to take over the role of coordinating, collecting projects, making sure the evaluation and assessment are done. And if the advisory group for the entire project involves individuals from each of the three institutions, I think that's okay. But ultimately, one institution has to take the responsibility of, you know, working with the others to define the project, set up the recruitment policy. I mean, of course, all of this is done with your collaborators, but that one institution takes the responsibility for those functions.
Okay, I see. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Rebecca Wright. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. My line had disconnected for a bit, so I apologize if someone had already asked this question. You said earlier in answer to one of the questions that students to be eligible had to be in a STEM degree program, and I'm just wondering if you have students, two related pieces. One, if you have students who have not yet declared a major, whether that means they are not eligible, and also if that precludes the type of project that would have a serious data science component, but where the application of that data science might be humanities or law or journalism or something that would not be considered a STEM discipline.
So I think the answer to your question was the third question on the slide. Students do not have to be pursuing a STEM degree to be part of the data science core. I think that's question
but the projects are data science related, so you could have students from the humanities, the social sciences.
Great. Thank you.
Participating as part of the team.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying.
Thank you. And next question is from Ken Chu. Your line is open.
Hello. So my question is about the implementation organization's budget, in particular for faculty. So is the expectation that no funds be given to faculty for, say, developing a new course or, you know, additional burdens for adding a project component to their existing courses?
Nandini, can you respond to that one?
She's there.
Nandini? Yeah, could you just repeat the question? I just heard the last bit of it.
Yes. So for the this, you know, integrating these projects, there probably would be some additional burden to integrating it into an existing course, or there is also a possibility of, say, developing new courses around a project. So is any of the budget for implementation organizations, is any of that expected to go to such faculty, or is this something that the institution itself is supposed to bear the burden, or bear the possible additional funding burden for?
So I think the short answer to your question is, you know, there is support for the PI of the coordinating organization and some support for personnel on implementation organizations. It is expected that these courses already exist, and maybe you would need to modify the curriculum or develop, you know, certain modules, and you could include some funds for that, but a significant portion of the budget is targeted towards the undergraduate students. So our faculty support is appropriate, but, you know, you shouldn't be asking, for example, for course buyouts for all faculty participating, but a small amount in the summer for one individual to develop modules is reasonable. So you just have to justify these costs in the budget.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is Wendy Fisher. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you so much. My question is kind of twofold. Is we're trying to determine the anticipated size of our team for this size of award. And I didn't know if you had any advice for that, is we're looking for trying to hit all of the notes of the request, but keeping our team small enough. So 5, 6, 7, 8, is there a recommended team size? And it ties into the examples of how we can show institutions that are hitting these, you know, examples of broader impacts is one too narrow, I guess. Does that make sense?
So the question is, what are the parameters of the team size?
Yeah, that's, you know, the big one, yeah.
Yeah, so with all proposals, you really have to show that the team you have has the expertise you need, and that it's appropriate, that it has the manpower to get the job done, and is appropriate for the task. So there isn't a single answer. It really depends upon how your project is structured.
Okay. And then the implementing organizations, I guess, I'll put it into the right terminology. Sorry about that. Is it best to have, you know, ourselves as well as several implementing organizations, or is one too narrow?
That's up to you.
Okay. All right. We'll work on that. Thank you.
Thank you. And next question is Amanda Herring. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you. So the $5,000 per student needs all of that should go towards a stipend. Could it be less than that?
approximately 5,000, so
right.
It really depends upon how you're doing it, and it's 25 to 30 students, so it doesn't have to be exactly 5,000.
Right.
It has to be appropriate for the project.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And next question is from Latifur Khan. Your line is open.
Thank you. This is Latifur from University of Texas at Dallas. I'm wondering whether a graduate student can be supported from this grant. This is because a graduate student can be useful to conduct some implementation work.
Well, if your graduate student is the project coordinator, that would be appropriate. But the stipends themselves go to the undergraduate students. And how you staff the rest of it is really up to the institution that's submitting the proposal.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Gerald Vada. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks for my question. It's just that we are new in getting involved, and I just wanted to know how we get a copy of the solicitation.
That's easy. You go to a web browser and you type in the browser, NSF space 19-518, and it will pop up. Well, at least it doesn't mind. Or NSF HDR DSC. It should come up right away.
Okay. 19-518, was it?
That's correct.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And next question is AJ Anand. Your line is open.
Yeah. Hello. Sorry, I'm back. The question I have is a really clarification of a question that was brought up before. The solicitation seems to indicate that, it's requesting a schedule of activities and also mentions about the advisory committee being formed after all the awards have been made. So compared to that, I just was seeking clarification to the question that came up earlier about an advisory committee being formed within the organization submitting a proposal. So my question is really, is the advisory committee something that's later after all the funds have been awarded, all the awards have been made, and the advisory committee goes across all of the awarded institutions? Or is it for each submitting proposal?
We're trying to find that in solicitation to give you a better answer. Oh, it is. Establish a data science core advisory group. Work with other funders.
Yeah, it talks about other funded organizations. So.
Yeah. That's a good question, and we will have to, if you want to email us, one of us, then we can give you a better answer to that question.
Okay, great.
Nandini can answer it.
Yeah, I have one more follow-up very much related to that. Even the schedule of activities talks about coordinating with other funded institutions in the two-page schedule. So is that something we just propose what it could look like from our behalf? Because, clearly at this point we don't know what the other funded institutions are.
That's right. You guys. You come up with a schedule of, tentative meetings, and then it's settled later on.
Okay.
Ask about the start time.
So,
yeah,
in regard to the data science core advisory group, that is something that all of the projects will be involved with, so that will have to happen after the award.
Okay. Okay, great.
But it should, your intention to work within that collaborate, or to help on identifying that group and working with it should be mentioned in your proposals.
Okay, yep. And very much related to that, what's the, since we're talking about academic programs and, curriculums and the academic calendar comes into play, so could you give us some guidance on the timeline for the start of this grant?
So that's the timeline. I think we'll start the end of August and September.
So
this year.
September, yeah. But
beginning of semester.
They're going to be reviewed.
Yeah.
Okay. Typically, awards, we try to handle 75% of the awards and declines within 6 months of receiving them. And usually an award, they awards begin,
you know, like in September.
After that. So we can't give you a specific answer at this point in time.
Okay.
But you can budget, if your question is when you should budget your start date in your proposal, I guess August. August should be fine. August or September.
Sure.
For your proposal start date.
Fall 19 would be a reasonable date. Also, remember that even if the awards were made much later than that, you can always get a. The start date is negotiable, as is the end date in some respects.
Okay.
Can I ask one more? It's a quick one. It's a more logistical one. In the collaboration letter, are we limited to just the text that's in the
supplementary document?
Yeah. Were you going to type in there, Lindy?
No, I think the letter should follow the format in the CAPPG. And you can maybe add a sentence that says, if this project were to be awarded, I would collaborate by providing, data or internships, but nothing which indicates a dollar amount or would indicate cost sharing. So we would prefer you keep to the format that's in the PAPPG and just document the nature of the collaboration in the project description.
Yeah, the solicitation says that the letter should state explicitly the nature of the collaboration, but must not otherwise deviate from the restrictions or requirements in the PAPPG.
That's sort of a little vague in terms of whether it's just limited to what's in the PAPPG or does it extend beyond that?
No, just state the nature of the collaboration.
An institution agrees to disseminate information or help you recruit. I think having a sentence to that effect in the letter is okay.
Okay.
But it should not include any words of endorsement.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. And next question is Leonard Johnson. Your line is open.
Hi. My question is about international collaboration. We're collaborating with, say, for example, a university in a developing country help or hurt you in the review process.
What was the question?
I'm asking about collaboration with international universities outside the United States. Would that help or hurt you in the review process?
Would it help?
So NSF does not allow funding for international. I mean, you can have international participants or collaborations. But NSF funds cannot be used to support either students or faculty at those institutions. You could maybe have a visitor if that's important, but typically NSF funds could not go to organizations outside the U.S. I think the word international in the solicitation talks about projects from organizations like the U.N. I think that may be what you're referring to, but I think the PAPPG guidelines for international collaboration applies.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is Joanne Luciano. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon. My question is about, I'm calling from University of the Virgin Islands, and we sustained and suffered quite a bit from the hurricanes last year, and a lot of our equipment was destroyed, and our labs were destroyed. So what I'm wondering is if some of the budget, either the student stipend for supplying the students with laptops or getting other equipment to use in our labs could be part of this budget.
So the question is whether you are allowed to support the student laptops?
Yes. So some of our students don't have laptops of their own, and also our labs were destroyed in the hurricane, so we don't have a lot of equipment to work with. We have some equipment and some very old and used equipment, which when you're trying to do, even though a lot of it is in the cloud, you still want to be able to set up, especially if you're doing any kind of mitigation research, to be able to set things up. So I'm wondering as to, I apologize, I haven't had a chance to read through the program announcement, but whether or not there's any place in our projects for procurement of equipment at all.
The funding is primarily to support the students in carrying out the data science project to get that experience.
Right.
So if you want to make sure that whatever you request really supports the goal of the project.
Okay.
I think that's probably, or the goals of the solicitation.
Got it. Yeah.
That's about all we can say.
I think by supplying the students with some equipment, there's a couple of things. So one is to be able to set up, like should a storm happen, we want to train them to be able to set things up, to collect data so that mitigation can occur down the line, for example. But also, one of my students this last semester didn't have a laptop. He wanted to see about collecting data from like, public IP addresses, like going out and just seeing what kind of data was you know, in the air. But he didn't have a laptop, so we had to get him a laptop. So these kinds of things can really tremendously empower students to be able to go out and do research on their own. So that's what I'm talking about. But I didn't, like I said, I hadn't had a chance to read the proposal, and I didn't know, because sometimes things are very clear. This cannot, you know, money cannot be used in a certain way. And I just wanted to know whether that's in or out. And if I understood you correctly, if it supports the goals of the project, it's okay.
Yeah, it doesn't explicitly address equipment, to my knowledge. But the budget primarily should focus on the students' stipend.
But if they don't have a computer to even access the web, there's no way that they can do any data science.
Well, if the university can match that, that would be better.
Okay.
Yeah, the solicitation doesn't address that, so that would be up to you to, as far as I can tell, the solicitation doesn't explicitly mention that, so you need to go by what's in the solicitation and write a compelling argument for whatever you plan to do.
Yeah, I might need to follow up with you because I'm having a hard time hearing. So I'm not quite... So I heard something about the university matching. We're also trying to, you know, rebuild, like, rooms, classrooms. but I wasn't quite sure what else you said, and maybe it's better to take this offline, but if you could direct some way, you know, if you know other programs that might support complementary pieces so that this can move forward.
I think I know that on the IUTS project for the improving undergraduate STEM education, that equipment is sometimes included there to support the student activities.
Okay, which one is that, please?
That would be the improving undergraduate STEM education, education in human resources. So, for example, if I were submitting an IDIS project and I wanted to have a course that did study how students learn data science and they all needed iPads, I could include it on that solicitation, definitely.
Okay. So, was that a separate one or was that in this program?
Oh, no, that's a separate one. I think I don't remember the name of it, but
if you remember the number?
You do a web search on NSF, IUSEHR, it'll come up.
IUEHR?
IUSE.
Okay.
And then space EHR.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is Luis Bugri. Your line is open. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have a quick couple of questions. We have problem viewing the slides. We can only get sound. Is it possible that you email slides to us?
Slides will be posted to the website for the a few days, I believe. So you'll be able to download them.
On the website?
In the place where you registered, if you go to the same page where you registered for the webinar, you'll be able to download the slides and the transcript of the meeting there.
Okay, thank you. One more question. Have there been prior data science core awards?
This is new. This is a new solicitation.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Next question is Wendy Fisher. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you again. I have another question that hit the third component in the solicitation in the area for synopsis mentions the education and workforce development. And I was wondering if there are some an example, I guess, that we're looking at is to provide a summer short course for some industry personnel for education on the data science initiatives. Is that part of hitting that, or am I off point?
This is really preparing the future workforce by educating and providing experiences for current undergraduate students.
Okay, so it's not asking us to support current industry personnel, but getting our students ready for their 21st century, industry.
Yes, have your students and have the industry people enroll. No, but it's not for industry; it's for the undergraduate students, current undergraduate.
And getting them ready. Okay. Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. And next question is Julia Lane. Your line is open.
Good morning. I have a question regarding the length of the student projects. Do you have any guidance about how long you would like them to be? Are summer programs okay, or do you anticipate that you would like them to be throughout the course, the year-long course? And then finally, for these stipends, could part of that funding be used for housing? I know it says travel, but I wanted to clarify if that could also be used for housing.
Want to address that?
The stipend goes to the students, and they can use it as they would like. It has to go under participant support. And in terms of what the project looks like, that is really up to the that's something that coordinating institutions, organization, and the implementation institutions have to agree upon. You need to devise something that will meet the requirements of the solicitation, and there are various forms that it can take.
It's really up to you to design a competitive program. So.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is Mike Wright. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. Just a quick question about which version of the PAPPG that we would be using here. I think I saw on an earlier slide it was specified as 18-1, but we're moving into the next version 19-1, which takes effect January 28th. So will we be following the 19-1, really?
The solicitation specifically says 18-1.
Yeah, I had that same question yesterday. It's 18-1.
Okay, 18-1. Thank you.
Yeah.
We do have a few more questions in queue if you are wanting to take those.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So maybe one more
question.
Okay. We do have Hugh Nguyen. Your line is open.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yes. Given that the we will probably won't know if we got awarded late in the summer, I was thinking about a start date. Is the NSF looking for where if we put a start date of September 1st, then we should be like ready to go in terms of implementing our curriculum and our courses then, or can we sort of put down the fall semester as when we would be developing our curriculum and projects, and then we would actually implement in the spring?
You can choose your start date, but you are expected to have the curriculum in place before the project begins.
Uh-huh, got it. So we could develop in the fall and then implement in the spring if we thought that was best.
Right.
So you wanted to make sure that your proposal
makes it clear that you will have a program in place when you begin a project.
But then by that, do you mean, again, should we be implementing in our courses right then at the start, or?
The implementation is not included. Well, the implementation of the course, what do I want to say? You're expected to have courses in place before the project begins.
I see. Okay.
So if you were planning to develop all of your courses in the fall, you would not want the project to begin in the fall because you're not really ready to have the students do their projects at that point.
So in that case, should we put down the start date for the spring then? Or?
So can I just jump in here? If you read the solicitation, it says the project description should include details of current programs and how the data science project will be integrated into the current curriculum. So you are expected to already have courses or curricula in place and projects at least identified or partners identified to start. So this is not to develop curriculum. You can develop pieces of it as you get into the process. But in the project description section of the solicitation, it says integration into current curriculum.
Got it. Understood. Thank you.
Okay. So thank you all for your interest in the data science core. We encourage you to read the solicitation carefully and to make a checklist of the components and the requirements before writing your proposals. You are welcome to email any questions that are not answered in the solicitation or on the program webpage. For best results, we recommend that you direct your email to a single program officer. We look forward to receiving your proposals. Thank you.
Thank you for your participation. That does conclude today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.